Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked. And what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it? I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ickle-firsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 126 of Swish and Flick. I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And today this episode is sponsored by Janelle Fairchild. Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today we will be discussing chapter 3 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, The Advance Guard. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to Tiffany your way into the details since we are without her today, as you can hear. She is sick. Sicker than the three of us. So she gets out and we get to keep going. She's got it way worse than us, so it's all good.
Someone in the chat said, hashtag swish and sick.
Yeah. So before we start, I'm going to go into the weekly profit. I wanted to let everybody know that I have shared and pinned Kira's fundraiser to our page. If anybody's interested in just making a direct donation, Kira has a Facebook fundraiser set up on his Facebook. You can just go ahead and donate if you have the available funds and are interested in donating. We all would really appreciate it.
And
we're trying
can't
to help Kira get his top surgery done.
Sorry. If you can't donate yourself, share the story. You know, Someone might want to donate.
For
anyway,
sure.
So.
Sharing helps a lot more than I think some people think that it does. If you just give it a share, there might be somebody in your friends group who's interested in donating, and that would help Kira reach his goal faster. So thank you. Also, I wanted to highlight an Etsy shop that I found called Queer Creations CT, and they showcase female disabled and people of color characters, not just in Harry Potter, but like in all different types of fandoms. But I did find that they have a bunch of fun Potter merch on their Etsy. They have wands, and they also have these really cute
coasters. That's the word I'm looking for. They have coasters that have like that are made out of like book pages from the books, and they're really, really cute. And I will post the link to their shop for you. But if you want to search, it's called Queer Creations CT on Etsy.
I love a good coaster.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have a Space Mountain one that I use every day at work.
We have so many coasters, it's like unnecessary, but you know.
We have a clean table.
We do. There's no water rings. Spots.
Oh man, who's gonna do this for me?
Shoot. Sarah, will you do it?
Can you do it?
I can try, but I won't be any Tiffany. It makes me nervous when I have to do other people's lines.
It's the only one I'll make you do.
Recap!
Perfect. You even had like the I love it. Alright, so last time. Mrs. Fig, she's a squib. And she knows way more than Harry thought. And she even knows Dumbledore. And Figgy and Mundungus Fletcher have been keeping an eye on Harry all summer, and Dung abandoned his post. That's why the Dementors swooped on in. Figgy had to come running with her cat bag swinging. So she wallops him with cat food and walks Harry and Dudley home. There's lots of L's in that chapter. Harry is almost expelled from Hogwarts and almost kicked out of the Dursley household. And we find out that Petunia has some weird connection to the wizarding world, maybe? What a night.
What a night.
I want to add something to the recap really quick before we go on to the summary for this one.
Has this ever happened before?
No, it hasn't, but I'm upset that we didn't talk about it in the last episode, so I wanted to bring it up. Because our listener, Cheryl, posted in the Facebook group, shout out to Cheryl, who reminded us to point out that Mafalda Hopkirk, the woman who sent Harry his expulsion letter, is also the witch that Hermione impersonates at the Ministry in Deathly Hallows. And we just, like, completely skimmed over that, and I was like, oh my gosh, why did we skim over that? So, just a reminder. Just wanted to put that little connection out there for you guys.
Thank you, Cheryl. Honestly, like I've said, I haven't read this book in so long, it's almost brand new information to me. That's exaggeration. That's but
brand new information.
So, like, I forget things like that, and that's what's so great about having so many people in our community, because we can go back and forth with all this knowledge.
Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to summarize the chapter because I never do that, so it's something new, guys. So Harry keeps himself to his room basically for the rest of the time there. He sends Hedwig with some letters, and he's kind of really not nice to her. And when I say kind of, he really isn't nice to her. And he's hoping for a quick reply from his friends, but he doesn't get any. Big surprise there. So a few days later, the Dursleys leave him, and while they, you know, go all out for the night, they all go out for the night, and he's basically told to stay in his room and not do anything, which is what he's been doing for the past 3 days. So whilst in there, he hears some people downstairs, and then it turns out it's a bunch of people that he knows, some new and some old faces, and they're there to take him away, to the Grimmauld place. So they're basically taking him from number 4 Privet Drive to a new location. We don't know what that is yet. They leave on broomsticks, and after a bit of a flight, they're finally there. The headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix.
We're officially nice. There. So somehow, someway, I was nominated. Hi, this is me, Katie. I'm pretending to be Tiffany right now. Should I just, like, say really loud? Should I just say the whole thing really loud? Because that'd be so different for me.
Go for it.
So these are not my notes, so if I stumble over them, I apologize. You're just going to have to deal with it. Alright, so we start off the chapter with, right off the bat, Harry's writing some letters. So he writes, I've just been attacked by Dementors, and I might be expelled from Hogwarts. I want to know what's going on, and when I'm going to get out of here. So he copies that 3 times. I don't have a bell. Shame.
Ding.
Ding. He copies that 3 times onto different pieces of parchment, and it's 1 to Sirius, 1 to Ron, and 1 to Hermione. So he's not messing around. He's like, look, I've been waiting anyway. I'm ticked off anyway. Stuff's actually happening. Someone better clue me in to what's going on.
I mean, I don't blame him.
I don't either.
I would be so frustrated right now if I was in his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me something. Let me know that, like, you're working on something. That, like, there's gonna be a conclusion sometime. Like, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. Like, reading Order of the Phoenix again, I've read it more recently than you've read it, Kate. But even now, like, I've only read it, like, leisurely. So now that I'm reading it as, like, pick apart, not that this isn't fun, obviously it is, but, like, leisurely. It's different than just, like, going chapter to chapter as fast as you want to. It's just, like, I really, really feel for Harry, and I don't think that I've ever felt for Harry the way that I feel for Harry on this reread.
Yeah, I agree, especially because going over Goblet of Fire the way we did, which I'd obviously never done before, and haven't read that book very often either. Like, we all, I think, really understood more of where he was coming from and could really wrap our head around it instead of just being like, oh, he's just being a hormonal teenager. Like, no, mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things going on.
I legitimately never, ever thought about Harry having PTSD until this reread.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never thought that, but I didn't. And it makes so much sense. I think it's just maybe it wasn't talked about as much whenever I was reading it originally. Like, or I was just younger. I don't know. But
yeah, I never really thought about it until someone like kind of pointed it out. And I like really thought about like what he went through. Cause it's been as much as like, this is one of my favorite books, out of the seven, I would say that my favorite, I haven't read it in a long time. And when the last time I read it, I was significantly younger. So I don't have as much, you know, I didn't have as much life experience and like thought behind what I was reading. And, sheesh.
I know. So Hedwig's off hunting, so poor Harry has to wait for her to come back. So he's pretty much just stewing. So he's pacing, his brain's all busy, his head's pounding. He's so tired that his eyes are stinging, but like there's no way he can go to sleep right now. He's just been through a horrific accident, and there's no chocolate yet.
No chocolate. The giver of chocolate has not arrived yet.
Oh, but he will. He will. My redemption book, yes. You said you wouldn't cough, and I'm coughing.
Here's a cough drop.
Thanks. So all of his feelings about what had just happened, what he'd been through all summer, and what happened at the end of the year at Hogwarts, everything's building. He's, like, clenching his fists. He's grinding his teeth. He's shooting angry looks outside the window. He's just, like, reeling about what just happened. So here's a quote from the book. Dementors sent to get him, Mrs. Figg and Mundungus Fletcher tailing him in secret, then suspension from Hogwarts and a hearing at the Ministry of Magic, and still no one was telling him what was going on. And what? What had that howler been about? Whose voice had echoed so horribly, so menacingly through the kitchen? Why was he still trapped here without information? Why was everyone treating him like some naughty kid? Don't do any more magic, stay in the house. So obviously he's pretty angry, so he kicks his school trunk. But that just makes him more mad because now his toe hurts on top of everything else. Have you ever had one of those moments where, like,
oh, yeah.
Even if you, I've had these moments, especially when what I'm mad about shouldn't have spiraled into how angry I am. Like, Harry has reason here, but then you'll do something else. Like, you'll just angrily throw something down, but then ends up hurting you, and you're just like, oh, of course. Sucks. So here's Hedwig come in. And quote from Tiffany, like the quality bird she is. She caught a frog. The goodest girl. Oh my gosh. Harry's not excited about the frog. He actually takes all of his anger and frustration out on her. Poor Hedwig. So he takes his letters, he ties it to her, and he said, take these straight to Sirius, Ron, and Hermione, and don't come back without good long replies. Keep pecking them till they've written decent length answers if you've got to. Understand? She gives a muffled hooting noise, her beak still full of frog, and he says, get going then. So she listens, like the good bird she is, but as soon as she's gone, Harry feels absolutely terrible. She's his only friend when he's at Privet Drive, so he's already making plans to be like, I'll make it up to her when she gets back. But Tiffany says, however, this makes me think. We know Hedwig's timeline. They do not have many years left together. Tiffany's sad. Yes, we could be upset with one another, but don't let it linger. We need to remember that life is short, and we are not promised tomorrow. So love each other, forgive, be good to one another. Tiffany's soapbox and PSA. So Harry's convinced that they're going to write back to him quick. Like, there's no way that they can ignore this Dementor attack. Clearly, they'll show some concern. They'll be like, all right, we gotta clue Harry in. So he goes to bed, finally, thinking he's gonna wake up to three fat letters full of sympathy tomorrow morning. And he would immediately be whisked away to the Burrow, and all would be well. The end. But Hedwig doesn't come back the next morning, so Harry stays in the room, only leaving to go to the bathroom. Three times a day, Aunt Petunia shoves food through his cat flap, which, like, good God, this is so not okay that he has a cat flap on his door from 3 summers ago. So every time...
What is that, chamber?
Yes.
Yeah, because that's when they put bars on his window and they were like, you're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think... So he's clearly able...
Mom, they put bars on his window.
You best hope I don't put bars on your window, Ron Weasley. So, like, question, though. So Aunt Petunia's feeding him still. He's not confined to his room, right? He's just doing that to himself?
Yes, I think so. That's what it seemed like when I read it.
I think.
That's a little care from Petunia.
True.
After this big explosion, and she's reminded of why her nephew needs to stay there, and they have this little shared moment that they've never had before concerning his mother, her sister. Like, maybe she actually gives a little bit of a care.
I kind of think that that letter scared her. The howler.
Yeah, maybe
so
that's
it. Like, oh shoot, like either A, I'm being watched, so I have to like be good, or B,
make sure he doesn't
she
die.
Actually remembered like what happened and why he's there, so she's like all of a sudden remembering that she has to care.
Right.
I think it's probably a little combination of both.
A little fear, a little, maybe a little tic-tac of sympathy.
A little.
Maybe. So Harry's thinking, every time Petunia comes around, Harry wants to grill her about what the howler meant, but he says he might as well have interrogated the doorknob for all the answers he got, because clearly Petunia didn't talk to him before now. Why is she gonna tell him this big secret that clearly she's been having for years? So the Dursleys kept their distance from him, and he kept out of their way too. So 3 days go by, and Harry is just, he's fuming. I mean... it's terrible. So, quote, Harry was filled alternately with restless energy that made him unable to settle to anything, during which he paced his bedroom again, furious at the whole lot of them for leaving him to stew in this mess, and with a lethargy so complete that he could lie on his bed for an hour at a time, staring dazedly into space, aching with dread at the thought of the ministry hearing. So then he goes to thinking about everything that could happen and all the questions he has. So, like, what if they ruled against him? What if he was expelled? What if they took his wand away and destroyed it? What would he do? Where would he go? Clearly, he's not going to stick around with the Dursleys, so he's like, maybe I could move him with Sirius? Like, or am I going to be sent to Azkaban? So on the 4th night of Harry lying on his bed in one of his apathetic phases, it's very emo Harry, he's staring at the ceiling, exhausted, mind blank, and then Vernon comes into his room.
Sarah, was your hand up or no?
I was just going to say, that just reminds me of, like, no, you're fine. I was going to wait till you're done. You're good. That's how my anxiety works. You know what I mean? You're thinking of, like,
dude,
you know, what's going to happen to this thing? You're thinking all the possible outcomes. You know, like, at least in my experience, like, I'm trying to prepare myself, but really all that's doing is making me more anxious and, like, lose sleep. And either I'm eating too much or I'm not eating enough or I'm, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, that to me, like, makes me anxious just thinking of, like, how he's working through all of this stuff.
I hear that so much.
I was gonna say like that right there is pure anxiety. Like that just shows like the anxiety that Harry's feeling over this whole situation. And I mean he just has anxiety in general, but then like to have this happen on top of it, it's just like tenfold now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Vernon comes up to Harry's room and tells him that they're going to go out, meaning him, Petunia, and Dudley. And Harry is not to leave his room, touch anything, do anything. And he's being locked in his room. But Harry, which, like, I don't understand why. Like, Harry hasn't even left his room. Why does Vernon feel the need that he actually has to lock him up? Like, whatever. But that's just Vernon. Harry doesn't even argue about it, though. He's so just unresponsive and, like, honestly depressed. He doesn't even, like, care to argue. Harry couldn't even summon the energy to get up and turn the lights on in his room after Vernon left. And to me, this is a clear sign of depression. He feels secluded. No one will respond to him. He may be expelled. He has no energy. He doesn't seem to care or argue about something that he normally would have. I looked up on WebMD how to detect depression. And, like, he clearly has a ton of these symptoms. So I'm just going to read some of them. Trouble concentrating or making decisions, fatigue, feelings of guilt, worthlessness, helplessness, pessimism and hopelessness, insomnia, irritability, restlessness, loss of interest in things once pleasurable, overeating or appetite loss. Like, clearly he's not going down for meals. Petunia has to bring them up to him, so he doesn't have a need to, like, want to go and eat. And just, like, persistent, sad, anxious, or empty feelings, which, like, she's clearly describing here. And I think that, like, the whole start of this chapter is just, like, describing depression and anxiety. And which, you know, comes along with PTSD. Like, it's, they can go hand in hand. So it makes a lot of sense that he has all of these symptoms for depression. So it grows dark in the house and quiet. Says the empty house creaked around him. The pipes gurgled. Harry lay there in a kind of stupor, thinking of nothing, suspended in misery. And I was just like, dang, that's sad. Like, I just feel bad for him. So then there's a crash. And Harry immediately thinks that it could be burglars. And he grabs his wand and goes to stand facing the door. But then he, like, can hear them being very loud. So then he questions, well, maybe it's not burglars because they're not doing a very good job at keeping quiet. So he's, like, just listening. And then all of a sudden his door unclicks and it's unlocked and it swings open. And he couldn't hear anything or see anything, and he heads downstairs. And then right in the hallway are 8 or 9 people standing there. Ding, ding. So you hear Moody's voice, and Harry has his wand out. So Moody tells him to lower his wand, and Harry is surprised to hear his voice. He also is still sort of suspicious, seeing as the last time he was in Moody's company, he was actually in Judy's company.
I want Harry to call him that in his head.
I know. He's like, oh, shoot, that's Judy. or is it Moody? Come on, Harry. Listen to our podcast. but then he hears Remus Lupin.
Yeah!
And Harry's heart leaps.
Yeah, it does. So did mine. Woo-hoo!
So, like, he hears Moody's voice, and he is surprised because that's, well, A, it's finally someone familiar. Clearly something is happening because, like, that's a connection to Dumbledore. But then he hears Remus, and I feel like when he hears Remus's voice, it's like Remus is an adult in his life that he, like, fully 100% trusts. So I think that as soon as he heard Remus's voice, he had to have felt a little trickle of happiness come in, just kind of like, oh my gosh, finally something is happening.
My connection to the wizarding world. I have a connection right in front of me. It's here.
Like somebody that I have a real relationship with is standing in front of me. He had to have, like, felt such relief. So then he hears a woman's voice who we have never heard before. It's unfamiliar to Harry. What?
Foreshadowing.
And she asked why they were all standing in the dark, and then casts Lumos, so now Harry can see again. Ta-da! So the wand tip flares, illuminating the hall with magical light, and Harry blinks. The people below were crowded around the foot of the stairs, gazing intently up at him, some craning their heads for a better look. Remus Lupin stood nearest to him. Though still quite young, Lupin looked tired and rather ill. He had more gray hair than when Harry had said goodbye to him, and his robes were more patched and shabbier than ever. Nevertheless, he was smiling broadly at Harry, who tried to smile back through his shock. So we know that the woman's voice is Tonks. So I'm just going to refer to her as Tonks because that's easier for me. Oh my god, my cat is so cute. He just, like, rolled over on his back like a dog and stretched his legs out straight, and that was adorable. Okay, anyway. So I'm just going to refer to her as Tonks because we already know, but we'll meet her in Katie's part, so. Mm-hmm. Tonks has purple
ding
hair, making Katie's argument about Order of the Phoenix completely invalid now.
I do talk about that in my section.
She was like, I can't believe they gave Tonks purple hair. She's supposed to have pink hair. And then she's reading it and she's like, oh, she does have purple hair.
I was wrong.
Not for long.
Yeah, true. So they did still screw up.
But... No, because she gets mad, it turns to pink, and then she shakes it, and it goes back to purple.
It's not what happens in the book.
Whatever.
It's not. I'll tell you.
Okay, well, we all know that the movies change a lot of stuff from the book. So Harry kind of, at this point, hates how he's being ogled at by everybody. Like, they're all talking about him almost as if he's not standing there for a second. And I think it's Kingsley who says something like, oh, wow, Remus, like, he really does look exactly how you said he would. He looks just like James. And then somebody else replies with, except with Lily's eyes. And then Moody is immediately back to business, and he's like, Lupin, check to make sure that that's Harry for real, because he could be an imposter. His quote actually is, it'd be a nice lookout if we bring back some Death Eater impersonating him. We ought to ask him something only the real Potter would know. Unless anyone brought any Veritaserum.
Dude's intense,
so,
man.
Remus asks Harry what his Patronus form is, and... obviously, Harry knows that and says that it's a stag, so Remus is like, yes, this is Harry. He passes the test, and then Moody yells at Harry for putting his wand in his back pocket.
I love this quote.
Probably one of the most famous, like, fandom favorite quotes, I think. Like, I hear it quoted all the time on the internet, Reddit, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. He says, don't put your wand there, boy, roared Moody. What if it ignited? Better wizards than you have lost buttocks, you know. Who do you know who's lost a buttock? The violet-haired woman asked Mad-Eye interestedly. Never you mind. You just keep your wand out of your back pocket, growled Mad-Eye. Elementary wand safety. Nobody bothers about it anymore. He stumped off toward the kitchen. And I saw that, he said irritably as the woman rolled her eyes at the ceiling.
I love Tonks and Mad-Eye's relationship.
I know, it's so great.
He's her mentor, right? Or was? In order training. So, like, here's this gruff old dude, like, he's been through everything, and here's this, like, spunky young new little witch who's really good at what she does, but she'll just throw it right back at him.
Yeah, it's awesome. For sure. So Remus finally asks the question that I think Harry has been wanting somebody to ask him for weeks. Just a simple, how are you? Why? Because Remus is boss, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Remus is one of the best father figures in Harry's life. So.
I mean, you're going to get no arguments from me.
He's better than Sirius. Come at me. Anyway, Harry could hardly believe that this was real. 4 weeks with nothing, not the tiniest hint of a plan to remove him from Privet Drive, and suddenly a whole bunch of wizards were standing matter-of-factly in the house as though this were a long-standing arrangement. Which it probably was.
Mm-hmm.
He glanced at the people surrounding Lupin. They were still gazing avidly at him. He felt very conscious of the fact that he had not combed his hair for 4 days.
It's like the opposite of, like, when you get all gussied up and you go out somewhere and no one sees you, but then the day that you, like, have to run to the store and you're just, like, in whatever, like,
you
pajamas.
You run into somebody.
And you run into someone, you know?
Mm. And you're like, shoot, why are you here? So then we find out that Tonks is actually the one who got the Dursleys to leave. She sent them a letter by Muggle Post saying that they'd been shortlisted for the All England Best Kept Suburban Lawn Competition, and of course the Dursleys would fall for that BS. So they were off to the prize giving right now, or they think that they are. Also, Harry wanted confirmation that they were indeed leaving, and he got it, thankfully, again from Remus, I think. They were just waiting for the all clear. So they would not be going to the Burrow either, he finds out. It's too risky, according to Remus, but they had set up headquarters somewhere undetectable, though it has taken a while.
Who's ready to hear my voice again? Sarah, I feel like you should talk about something for like half a second.
Well, I wonder what has taken them a while.
I know.
Yeah, like, is it just like making a spot unplottable and undetectable? Like, is that what took a while? Or did it take a while to gather everybody back up? Or both? Or what?
Yeah, like, how long does it take to cast the... I'm drawing a blank. What's the name of the charm?
Fidelius or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Fry, something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fidelius charm. Maybe it does.
Yeah. Plus, like, you know they're going to do, like, all those Repello Muggletum and all that stuff, too. Like, basic enchantments of protection.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I'm sure there's more than the Fidelius Charm on Grimmauld Place.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like, just think of all the things that Hermione casts on their little campsite,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're mm-hmm. out in Deathly Hallows.
Yeah. All right, so my boy starts introducing the crew. So first there's Moody, the actual real-life Moody TM. So Harry feels weird about getting introduced to him, though, because, like, he knows him, but he
feels like he should know him.
Doesn't know him? Yeah. Yeah, like, he thought he knew him for almost a full year, and he has never actually met the real Moody. So, then it's Tonks, and I like this little quip between them, it's cute. Remus gets scolded because he starts saying, and this is Nymphadora, and she says, "Don't call me Nymphadora, call me Tonks," and he's like, "This is Nymphadora Tonks, who would rather be called by her surname." Like, I was gonna get there, you should have just let me finish.
Also, I kind of wish that they would have kept Remus as the one saying that in the movie instead of Moody, because Moody says it in the movie.
Remus isn't there in the movie. At all.
You're right.
Yeah, I know.
What the heck? Also, I really like this conversation that is going on in the Discord chat about Tonks and how they think that she is, like, pan or bisexual because she's a metamorphagus and she can basically just, like, be whatever she wants. So even is she, like, non-binary? You know?
Yeah.
She could be. I think it's interesting. I mean, she can change her appearance to be whatever she wants to be.
Yeah.
And actually, shout out to the one Etsy illustrator. Her name is Sydney. Her Etsy is Sid Sketch. She's the one who did those really awesome Marauders Polaroids that I bought at LeakyCon in Boston.
She's one of my faves.
She is, like, she has created my favorite headcanon drawing of the trio, and she, like, made the trio more, like, Hermione is black, Harry is half Indian, and then Ron is the ginger. He's just a ginger. But, like,
we love it's just... it with such sadness. It's just a ginger.
I love gingers, but I just love her, like, I love her drawings, and she did a recent drawing of Tonks as what she believes as, like, non-binary or bisexual, and she posted it on her Instagram, which is Sid Sketch, so you should go check it out. I really love how she draws the characters, and she has vowed for 2020 to draw only LGBTQ representations of characters. So her, like, very first drawing of 2020, I believe, was Remus and Sirius as a couple, and then her second one was Tonks.
So I'm stoked. I'm stoked.
Yeah, but I love her stuff, so you should go check it out.
Yeah. All right, back to introductions.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. Don't apologize. So then we have Kingsley Shacklebolt, who's this cool dude with the hoop earring.
Awesome. I love Kingsley.
I know. I think Kingsley's, like, super underrated, and I think they nailed him in the films.
Oh, totally.
My favorite thing in the movies is when
I know what you're gonna
Dumbledore
say.
leaves his office, and he's like, "You can't admit, Dumbledore's got style."
Yeah, his delivery is so good. And I'll go into these characters a little bit more after I give a quick description. Then there's Elpheus Dodge. That's mm-hmm. how I say it. Who is the wheezy-voiced wizard who said hello before? And I believe this is the same. Oh, is this the same dude?
Yes.
In the film. Who had, like, 25 shirts on at Bill and Fleur's wedding.
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and look. He literally has 25 robe shirts on.
Yeah, he's the guy that talks to Harry about Dumbledore mm-hmm. and his obituary. He writes Dumbledore's obituary, I think, for the Daily Prophet.
Yeah, because they were friends.
Yeah.
We have Daedalus Diggle, who points out that him and Harry had met before. This is also the same guy that Harry met in the Leaky Cauldron, who then reminded him that he had seen him another time when he bowed to him when he was out with Petunia and Dudley. Yes, and Petunia was not pleased. There's Emmeline Vance, who's a stately-looking witch. Sturtis Podmore, who's a square-jawed wizard with thick straw-colored hair, who gives Harry a wink. And lastly, there's Hestia Jones, a pink-cheeked, black-haired witch. So just a quick... I looked these guys up, and the only one who really had more information was Kingsley, but, like, still not a lot. So Kingsley, when the Order of the Phoenix reformed in 95, there was a special effort made to recruit spies within the Ministry of Magic. So here's one of them. The other one, so Shacklebolt and Tonks, they were the two Aurors who were spies for the Order. He and Arthur pretended not to get along with each other at work, which I think is hilarious. Obviously, he's part of the advance guard that helped Harry escape. And although Kingsley was supposed to be the Auror in charge of the search for Sirius Black, his search was a complete sham. So, among other things, he reported that Sirius was in Tibet, and he was so successful at protecting Sirius that the Ministry never found him, obviously, as we know. Then we have Elpheus Dodge, who was part of the original Order of the Phoenix. As a child, he suffered from a bout of dragon pox, and when he came to Hogwarts, he still showed signs, which I didn't look up what the signs were, but I'm pretty sure you, like, turn green or something. Something
that sounds right.
Crazy. And the only one who had befriended him was Dumbledore. And later the two of them planned to make the traditional tour of the Wizarding World together, but then Albus had to stay back because of what everything that happened with his family. Daedalus Diggle was a member of the Order of the Phoenix in both the First and Second Wars. That's all we really know about him. Emmeline Vance was a member also in the beginning and now. And she has a sad and quick ending that will be coming, I think, within this book. And then Sturgis Podmore. I liked the etymology I found. So Sturgis' last name suggests a possible family connection to Sir Patrick Delaney Podmore, the ghost who leads the Headless Hunt.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then Hestia Jones, all I really found on her was she's a new member of the Order of the Phoenix. Thanks, Lexicon. So Harry feels like he's sort of just been, like, ushered up on stage. Like, everyone's just staring at him. He wishes they would look at something else. And he's thinking, like, why are so many of them here? And it's almost as if Remus reads his mind. And he's like, there was a surprising amount of people who volunteered to come and get you. So I wonder if they're just, like, ready and raring to go. And, like, you know, the order's formed. We're doing stuff. Or if a lot of them were like, I need to see Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they were kind of just interested in, like, seeing Harry. But you would think, like, they know that they're bringing him to Grimmauld Place, and, like, they're a part of the Order, so they'll probably see him
right
at Grimmauld Place. But, yeah, I guess maybe that's more of, like, a guaranteed, like, oh, I'll get to see and meet Harry Potter.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think it's spiteful, or not spiteful, like,
no,
harmful in any way, no. But, I mean, yeah. Everyone in the Wizarding World is just, like, Harry Potter. Like, this kid is gold, you know? So Moody tells him that they are his guard, and Remus says, we're just waiting for the signal. And Tonks can't get over how clean these muggles are. A bit too clean. Which, if you look at my apartment, yep. They way too clean. Harry's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then he turns to Remus. He's like, look, what's going on? I haven't heard anything from anyone. What's... And he starts saying Voldemort. And then a bunch of them are like, no. They shush him. And Moody tells him to shut up. He says, we're not discussing it here. It's too risky. And then Moody gets angry because apparently his eye has been getting stuck ever since, quote, the scum wore it. And, quote, with a nasty squelching sound, much like a plunger being pulled from a sink, he popped out his eye!
Gross.
And he drops it into a glass of water. What would Aunt Petunia say about an eyeball being in one of her glasses? So Harry's like, well, how are we going to be getting to wherever we're going? So they're going to be taking brooms because he's too young to apparate, the flu network is watched, and it's just not worth their lives to set up an unauthorized Porky. And apparently Remus was talking about Harry a lot because Kingsley's like, oh, Remus says you're a pretty good flyer. And Remus is like, no, he's excellent. So Tonks goes with Harry upstairs to pack, and she's on her clean rant again. And she says, funny place. It's a bit too clean. Do you know what I mean? Bit unnatural. Oh, this is better. As soon as they enter Harry's room, she's like, this looks familiar. So seeing as he's been in there for 4 days and in a really bad mood, he hasn't really picked up anything. So most of the books he owned were all over the floor. Hedwig's cage needed cleaning out and it was starting to smell. His trunk was open. There was just like a jumble of clothes spilling out. It's me. So Harry starts throwing things in his trunk and Tonks is looking in the mirror and she's like, I don't really think purple's my color. And she asks Harry, like, does it make me look a bit peaky? And Harry's like, I don't know.
Doesn't even have a chance to answer.
Right, and she's like, no, it's not. It's not my color. So she screws up her eyes in, like, this expression like she's trying to remember something. And her hair turns bubblegum pink. So again, quick shout out. I was wrong. Her hair was purple for a while, whatever. So Harry, like, just stares at her and he's like, how did you do that? So she's a metamorphmagus, which is our first encounter with one of these people slash beings. I don't know how the ministry would categorize her. But that basically means that she can change her appearance at will. You have to be born one. And she mentions that she got top marks in concealment and disguise during aura training without any studying, which feels like a Ravenclaw thing to me, even though I know she's Hufflepuff. So we found out that she qualified as an aura just a year ago. She almost failed stealth and tracking because she's, quote, dead clumsy. So she's the one that broke the plate earlier in the chapter when Harry hears people come in and he thinks there's burglars. And this is where we learn that Kingsley's also an auror. So Harry asks if you can learn to be a metamorphagus, and Tonks kind of laughs, and she says, I bet you wish you could have had that scar sometimes. And this is kind of, like, I know Harry's always been uncomfortable with people looking at his scar, but this is, I feel like, the first time that says Harry doesn't like it when people look at his scar, and he turns away from her.
Yeah.
Like, he makes a conscious effort to be annoyed by it. So they wasted time talking, so Tonks does a quick pack spell, and everything kind of, like, just flies into Harry's trunk. And she's like, oh, my mom does it so much better. Even the socks fold themselves. And she tries, but it just kind of flops. She even scourgifies some of Hedwig's droppings out of her cage, which, you know, Harry, you should probably take better care of your pets. She's super...
And be nicer to them.
Yeah, she's super impressed with Harry's firebolt. So they head back to the kitchen, and Remus... Yes.
I have a question. So, like, Harry gets a letter because Dobby does a spell in front of him. Why didn't the ministry notice all of this?
Yeah, you're right.
maybe because, like, they're using the wand. Like, she's using the wand. I don't know. And there's no muggles around. That's why.
Oh, so it's not maybe as important.
Yeah.
That's got it. That's got to be it. So Remus was just finishing a letter to the Dursleys, so he says, Harry, I've left a letter telling your aunt and uncle not to worry. Harry says, they won't. That you're safe. That'll just depress them. And you'll see them next summer. Do I have to? Poor Harry. So this is something in the Wizarding World that I would love to experience, because it just sounds really cool. Moody puts a disillusionment charm on Harry. So basically that makes you, like, you're not invisible, but it's like you just blend, like you become whatever the background is. So you're kind of like a human chameleon, as it says in the book.
And I love that description.
Mm-hmm. So Moody, like, taps him on the head with his wand, and it feels like an egg has cracked and is, like, dripping and trickling down. I just think that sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that reminds me of? What's that, like, game you, like, play? It's like, is it concentrate? And it's like, drop an egg on your head and, like, let the yolk fall down. That's what it makes me think of.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I have no idea what that is.
Concentrate. Concentrate.
Yeah, it's like called concentrated.
Fun little fact about
you've
the
never done that?
No. Weird. Oh yes, I have.
Okay.
Throwback to like grade school.
Yeah.
Fun little fact about the disillusionment charm: hippogriff and winged horses may be kept by wizards as long as they perform a disillusionment charm on them regularly, so that muggles won't notice anything strange about them. And you can also create kind of like an invisibility cloak if you do that charm on a cloak. But it's probably not nearly as good.
Mm. That's why Ron, like, is like, oh, that's like a real invisibility cloak whenever he sees Harry's the first time.
Yeah. So Harry gets the lowdown. So they'll head outside for the signal. They're going to fly in close formation. Tonks will be in front. Remus will be below. And the rest are going to be circling around him. And Moody's like, don't break ranks even if one of us is killed. And Tonks says, stop being so cheerful, Mad-Eye. He'll think we're not taking this seriously. And Kingsley's like, no one's gonna die. We're fine. So the next signal comes with red sparks and then green sparks. And then they're off.
Whoosh. So, now they're flying. and it says, like, in the book, Harry obviously is flying. It brings him such, like, a great pleasure, because that's one of the things that he loves to do the most, and it's kind of serving as a distraction for all of his thoughts that he's been having about the ministry hearing. And Moody is shouting directions on where they have to go. So Harry's following Tonks, who's in front of them. They have to fly higher so they can make sure that they aren't seen by muggles below them. And then Harry's thoughts were kind of the fact that, because he's seeing all the little dots of cars driving around, that Vernon might be driving home right now in a rage about the non-existence of the lawn competition, and that made Harry a very happy camper. And it's also just happy that he's flying. So Moody wanted them to keep climbing, and they see some clouds, and he's like, yeah, we'll lose ourselves in the clouds. And Tonks is like, ah, no, we're not, because I don't want to get soaked, and nobody else here wants to get soaked. And Harry's very grateful for that, because his hands are starting to go numb because he's so cold. And so Moody the whole time is kind of having them alter their course just in case someone is following them. And Harry's talking about how it's so cold that it reminded him of the Quidditch game in third year against Hufflepuff, and that it was so cold then. And then I'd also like to point out that's the same game where the Dementors attacked Harry and, like, came in and tried to suck his soul out.
Mm-hmm.
A little tangent. Someone posted in our group, it was, like, a little cartoon of Dementors talking to each other about their, like, he has two souls, and it's like, I know. It's like, I just want to give him, like, one kiss, and, like, he'd be so much better, or something like that, trying to, like, get the one soul out of, like, give him a kiss on his forehead. I thought it was funny.
I saw that, too.
That was funny.
So, Harry doesn't really know how long they've been flying at this point, but he seems to him like that they've been up there at least an hour. Oof. So, and I don't know if you guys have ever, I know I've done this when, like, I'm really cold or, like, really hot. Like, I'll think of, try to, like, think of things to, like, make me warmer. Like, just being, like, in a hotter room or, like, on the beach somewhere or, like, inside an air conditioning, vice versa, you know? So Harry's kind of seeing the cars below him, and he's thinking about being inside a nice, warm, dry car. And then another way, like, he's talking, thinking about how they could have gone by flu powder or used flu powder, done that. And it's kind of like a little bit of a reminder, of just a different way that witches and wizards travel.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's reminiscing of, like, oh, the warm flames would be so nice right now. And then Moody's like, all right, now we're going to double back, 'cause we're going to really make sure that we aren't followed. And Tonks is not having it, being like, we're almost there, we're not doing it. And then Lupin cuts and he's like, let's just start the descent. So they start the descent, the ground is, like, coming up, and Harry's kind of soon is able to tell the difference between, like, individual headlights and chimneys and, you know, different buildings and all this stuff. And they finally land in a small square, so Harry kind of looks around at the buildings, and it doesn't look like a very appealing place, no pun intended, because there were some peeling paint on some of the doors, many of them. There were some broken windows, and he's like, huh, where are we? And they don't answer him. So Moody pulls something out of his pocket or something like that, and it looks like a cigarette lighter, and he raises it into the air, and he clicks it, and for each click, a street light went out with a pop. So then Moody kept clicking it until all the lights were out, and the only lights that were on were the ones that were inside people's houses, and then the moon. And so then it says that Moody borrowed it from Dumbledore. And then it says that it was the put-outer, and then later on it's called the Deluminator. And there are some people that don't care for the fact that that name has been changed. it's an apotterless. He is one of them. But, like, why change it? I don't know. The put-outer. And you also see it used in Crimes of Grindelwald.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
So Moody kind of leads them out of the square onto the pavement, and then they're all flanked, like Harry's flanked by all of them. And Moody gives Harry a piece of parchment, and he tells him to read it quickly. And so he's holding his wand so Harry can actually read it, holding his wand with Lumos. And the writing looked somewhat familiar, and it read, "The headquarters of the Order of the Phoenix may be found at number 12 Grimwald Place, London." And that's the end of the chapter. Before I go on, I did want to point out, I loosely Googled how far Surrey and London are from each other. And I don't know when the last time I looked something up on Google Maps, and I do this quite often, but it must have changed to walking. So, like, if you do a city, it'll just be, like, generic. Like, I think it maybe goes, like, right in the center. I'm not sure how Google Maps does its thing. If you don't put in, like, a specific address, and I didn't, so I literally just said from London, UK, to Surrey, UK, it will take you roughly 8 hours and 33 minutes to walk it.
So by broom, yeah, it probably would be, like, a little over an hour.
Yeah. So just a thought. I'm like, I wonder, like, and that's too, like, if you're adding in all of the, like, lefts and rights and this and that that Moody had in to really make sure that they were not being followed.
Sarah, I love it. Were you going to say something?
I was going to ask, isn't the Deluminator called the Deluminator in Fantastic Beasts, too?
I don't know.
Because that would be, like, super out of order. The fact that it was the Deluminator, then the Putouter, then the Deluminator.
I think they only call it the Putouter because Harry doesn't actually know what it is yet.
I guess.
And as a reader, you don't learn what it is until Deathly Hallows.
True.
That's how I took it. I don't know.
Like, Harry wouldn't even think to call it a Putouter, do you think?
I don't know. What else are you going to call it? The D-Lighter?
A Deluminator.
I might have the screenplay like right next to me, so y'all talk and I'll look.
Okay.
Okay, lightning bolt.
I do have one. Don't let me forget that I have one.
Just but ask it now.
Well, no, it has to involve Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, she can probably still hear us.
She's busy. I don't know if she can or not. Let's see, where are these bolts? I think I only saw like maybe one or two so far. So, hey, listeners, hashtag swishers.
Okay.
Vinny.
Which Death Eater would impersonate Harry the worst?
Oh my god. Yaxley.
Death Eater.
Scabior. I don't like that dude.
Is he a Death Eater or just a Snatcher?
I don't know. He sucks.
I'm going to say Crab or Goyle.
Which is funny because Harry impersonated one of them.
Right.
Well, are they Death Eaters or just their parents?
Oh, I meant their parents, but we don't. Mm. Yeah, sorry. Crab or Goyle Sr. They would do a pretty poor job of being
Harry. I would think Peter Pettigrew would be a terrible...
True.
Ooh, or Lucius Malfoy. I think he's too uppity to fake him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think any of them would do a very good job.
Bellatrix.
She's too crazy.
She's very dramatic, so she's probably a good actress.
That's fair. That's fair.
Volmerm says, do you think Mrs. Norris tried to hit on McGonagall when she was in her animagus form?
I don't know. Does Mrs. Norris swing that way? And if she does, I mean... McGee's a looker.
Swing that way?
McGee's a looker, man.
I mean, sure, but I'm saying, does she swing that way?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm okay with it, though. I can accept that ship.
This is a good one. Khaleesi of Hyrule asks,
nice name.
What other fake event would you use to get the Dursleys out of the house if you were the Order? A drill convention.
I was just gonna say something about drills.
I don't know why Vernon would take Petunia and Dudley to that, though, actually.
To show off.
Yeah, true.
What about, like, some fake thing at Smeltings? Like, Dudley got some honor award.
Yeah. Some, like, or like a wrestling award.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you have any?
No, I like those choices.
Okay, Lisa asks, if you had to be paired with one of the guard for another order mission, who would you want to be partnered with besides Lupin?
You just ripped my heart out!
Lupin, because I would choose Lupin.
If I couldn't have him, I would pick Tonks.
If I couldn't have him, I might pick Kingsley.
Oh, yeah, he's
Kingsley. Cool. Yeah. Kingsley or Tonks.
Yeah.
But Remus.
Yeah. Fun fact, not for this scene because he wasn't there, but when they flew in 7, they had his broom on display at the celebration of Harry Potter, and I geeked out.
They did, and it was cool.
I wanted to take it off the wall and put it in my suitcase.
Ethan, what's the first thing you would do with the powers of a metamorphomagi? What would you try out on yourself? I would color my hair all the colors of the rainbow. I've always wanted to color my hair an unnatural color, and I've never had the opportunity to. I really, really want to.
Being a metamorphagus is like having your own Snapchat filters all the time.
Honestly, that's good. I would turn myself into a cat.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
I would just walk around with a cat face.
Yes.
Just to freak people out.
Yeah.
I probably just would change my hair more often than I do now.
You wouldn't have to worry about damaging it.
Yep. Right?
I mean, you could change it multiple times in one day. How cool is that?
I would grow a beard. So funny. And
realistically, I have changed it multiple times in one day. That's not good. I'll be changing it soon. I can't wait.
What are you doing?
I'm going blonde again. So I've been red for a long time. I know it's only been like 4 months, but that's a long time for me to be a solid color.
That's a while for you. Another question. Maui Potter.
Do you ever wonder if the adults have curses to keep warm and other things, but just forget the kids can't do it themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
I would forget, yeah. I've read a lot of fan fiction where, like, they'll, like... Like, I've read a fan fiction.
A warming charm?
Yeah, they have, like, a warming charm on their coats, and, like, they're all cozy, even though they're, like, going on a winter walk together. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, it turns into something cute. If that existed...
But also...
Whew, yes.
I wonder if they were thinking to, like, it's the middle of summer, and they're not really realizing... Maybe, I don't know. And he didn't really realize that, like, the higher up you go, you know, the colder it's gonna get. So.
Right.
And you're, like, flying... That's going to be chilly when blowing in your face.
Like, even in the middle of summer, anyone who rides a motorcycle has jeans and a jacket on, because when you're going that fast, it's cold. Well,
yeah, you should also wear things to protect yourself. That's in case.
Lisa asks, would you have been brave enough to sign up for the Guard, especially after knowing about the recent Dementor attack? I think my answer to that would depend on if I was capable of producing a Patronus charm.
Yeah, I want to say that I'd be brave enough, but I really don't know if I would be.
Did we ever see Lupin perform it, like, successfully? Did we ever see his Corporal Patronus?
No. Well, I don't think we see it.
I don't know if he can.
He can, but because it's a wolf form, but he chooses not to, because it reminds him of... Yeah.
Okay. I would, as long as, even if I couldn't do it, if I could make sure, like, at least someone I went with could.
Yeah.
Shoot, you're with Harry Potter. He knows how to do it.
Right.
Virginia asks, what do you think would have happened if there hadn't been the Dementor attack? Would Harry have ever gotten to go to Grimmauld Place that summer? I think that he would have.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was planned anyway.
Yeah.
I wonder if the attack pushed it up.
I would say yes.
Yeah, probably a little bit. Because, like, if you think back to the previous books, like, usually he was at the Dursleys for most of the summer, and then it was, like, maybe the last couple weeks he would go to the Burrow. So, like, I bet you this was probably planned for that same type of timeline.
Yeah.
I have a lightning bolt question.
Okay.
Who was colder? Harry flying to Grimmauld Place? Or Sarah in Boston.
It was really Salem. And right, we were all pretty cold. I was just talking about that the other day with Jen, because I was like, the shoes I had on, like, the first time I wore them, I literally, like, I physically paused for a moment, because I, like, relived it. And I'm like, I don't know if I could put these shoes on. And, like, that happens to me. I once, a couple of months ago, I was walking out of Target, and I had bought wine, and I always park in the specific part of Target, and I had to, like, go over, and I'm pushing the cart, and I have to go over, like, a little bump on the sidewalk. Well, like, my bag fell out of the cart, and the wine bottle broke, and then I'm not gonna, like, it's pouring rain, my wine bottle's on the floor, I went to go pick it up, and I cut myself.
Oh.
Because I wasn't gonna, like, leave a broken bottle, so then I didn't know what to do, so I'm, like, bleeding significantly. To the point where, like, I called my mom, and I'm like, I might have to get stitches. But I put it all in my trunk, because I was like, whatever, like, I'm just more worried about my finger than, like, the broken wine bottle in my trunk that's now, wine is everywhere. Not only just on the poor streets of Target, and not in a glass where it should be going in my mouth, but I didn't need stitches. But every time I, like, because I still park, like, roughly in the same spot, every time I push a cart over it, I, like, have flashbacks to it. And that's how I felt with those shoes in Boston.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say I was colder.
I would agree. Because all of us were soaked to the bone.
But it says Harry was too.
He was soaked?
It says that he was because they went through clouds. Oh, wait, no, they wanted to, Moody told them to go through clouds, but then Tonks was like, no.
Right.
We'll get soaked. Right. So, yeah, probably we were colder.
Yep. Sorry, Harry, we win this one.
Last one, Ethan asks, where would your secret Fidelius hideout be if you had one?
Target.
Mine would probably be on a beach. Honestly, I love Lake Erie. Like, just as long as I'm looking at water, like, so up in Huron, maybe. Or on a beach. A little hut. I don't need much. A kitchen, a bathroom, and a bed. That's all I need.
Meg's would be the Cinderella suite and Cinderella's castle.
I literally was going to say that.
Oh, it's like I'm married to you.
I was going to be like Cinderella's castle in the middle of Magic Kingdom.
That's so funny.
And there's so many crowds there that hopefully I could like sneak out and go ride Winnie the Pooh and then go back.
If you were a metamorphosis, you could change your face.
Truth.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you think that Harry put the glass that Moody used to clean his eye like right back in the cupboard? Like, I know he didn't get from the cupboard, but like, do you think he cleaned it, or it was like, use this eyeball glass now?
I hope he just put it back in there.
Ew. Yeah. Heather in the chat also said, I hope he just put it back.
They deserve to have it just put back.
Gross. Eye juice.
Ugh. I see you wanted a glass of water.
Oh my god. All right, you guys ready for a fan story?
Yeah.
All right, this one comes from Abby Robinson. Hello, Hello, Swish and Flick podcasters. My name is Abby Robinson. I am 21 years old. I am about to graduate from college, at least when she sent this to us. And Harry Potter is my absolute favorite book series. I'm a proud Hufflepuff with a Badger Patronus. Oh my god. Doesn't get much more Hufflepuff than that. And I share my birthday with Fred and George Weasley.
That's awesome.
Huzzah for April Fool's babies. I honestly don't remember when I started reading the series. I was pretty young, but I have read it all the way through at least 5 times at this point. I grew up in a very Christian household, and my parents had a lot of rules about what I could or couldn't read or watch. But for some weird and wonderful reason, they were huge advocates of the Harry Potter books. My dad always had to read them before my brothers and I could, and when the 7th and final novel was published, we were on a family camping trip in Yellowstone National Park. I was dying to read it, but the rule still stood. Dad had to read it first. So every night, he would stay up in our pop-up camper trailer for hours reading it, and the next morning, I would catch up to his bookmark immediately. I distinctly remember getting to the page he had ended on, and being so frustrated that he read so slowly. Finally reaching the end was satisfying, but I've always longed for more Harry Potter information. I got to visit the Harry Potter studio in England last summer, and it was absolutely incredible. Universal is next on my list. I found this podcast when I was going on a long drive one day, and I've listened to you guys talk about the first 2 books in only a few weeks. I'm not even rereading the books right now, and I'm eating up everything you guys discuss. I can't get enough of the 4 of you. Shout out to Sarah, you are my homegirl. I was so upset when you disappeared for a few episodes. Never do that again. I love hearing you guys talk about everything Harry Potter related, and I honestly feel like I'm in the room with you. Sometimes I catch myself trying to add to the conversation before I realize it doesn't work that way. My roommates might think I'm nuts. Thank you all, Katie, Tiffany, Megan, and Sarah, for bringing extra joy and laughter and magic to my day. This is a wonderful podcast, and I can't wait to catch up to the present recordings and get all the way to the end of book 7 with y'all. Aww! Thank you, Abby.
Thanks, Abby.
Also, I cannot wait for you to go to Universal. I'm super stoked that you got to go to the studio tour, because that was one of the highlights of our lives.
I have to say that I think it's really good that you did the studio tour before going to Universal.
Yes, I agree with that a lot.
I think that parts of the studio tour were underwhelming to me because I saw them in full scale, like, full out, blown out to proportion, like, at Universal. So, right. Like, parts of some of the sets were kind of like, oh, that's it? And I was, like, upset with myself for being underwhelmed. So I'm really glad that you got to see that stuff first before going to Universal. But you'll love it.
Also, like, you are a true Hufflepuff because you stopped at the bookmark like your dad said you had to.
I would not have.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have either.
I would have been the person like, I can't, because they'll know I went ahead. But, like, geez, that takes some,
That's
obedience.
That's restrained. I couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. All right, social medias.
Yep.
So you can follow us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast and join our Facebook group, Swish and Flick Podcast Group. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Swish Flick Cast. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, and you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/swishflickcast. I also want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons again, because we have officially made our donation to the Wildlife Warriors for Australia, which is run by Steve Irwin's family, Bindi, Robert, and Sue? Right? Yeah. Terry. I don't know why I thought Sue. Terry, Bindi, and Robert. Their mom. Yeah.
No, your mom.
And yeah, we were able to donate $1 for each patron that subscribes to our Patreon, plus $5 from each of us, and it was a total of $500. So we really appreciate all the support that we get and that we were able to do that for Australia. If you guys have any extra funds, they're a great organization to donate to. They do a lot of great work. They have saved 90,000 animals. So it was super awesome that we got to do that, and they will continue to save them. Yes.
You might want to point out, like, just with the fires alone, like, not just with their organization.
Right,
that's
right.
How many animals they've saved just during these wildfires.
Yes.
I don't know why that sounds weird coming out of my mouth.
Wildfires.
Bushfires. I've seen videos from Kangaroo Island, and it's just, like, so sad. So I pray for all the people over in Australia and all the animals, too. So,
can I bring this up for a minute?
Yeah, I loved this conversation that's going on in Discord.
So Lisa asked in the chat, if we had to compare a lovely host to members of the Guard, who would be who? Ethan.
Oh, jeez.
You, my dude. He said, Katie would be Tonks because no one loves Remus as much. That's so true. Lisa suggested Tiffany as Kingsley, and then Ethan said Tiffany would be Alpheus Dodge because no one loves Dumbledore as much.
I like both of those.
Yes. Sarah would be Daedalus Diggle, eccentric and a good time. Lisa agreed that Sarah would be Diggle, and she says, I think Megan would be a less intense version of Moody, but still in charge of all the logistics. And Ethan said, I was thinking the same, plus he really likes Tonks, which would be me.
True.
That's hilarious. I love it.
That's fun.
Did you finish your social media rant?
Yeah. Oh, support us on Patreon if you'd like to. Patreon.com/SwishFlickCast. You get access to the Felix files. And then it also helps allow us to do awesome things like what we did for Wildlife Warriors. And also, like, be able to go to LeakyCon, which we're going to get to do this year twice. And be able to do meetups for you guys, do the Phoenix Plus boxes for all of our Phoenix Plus patrons, which I'm super excited to get out to you. I'm sorry my cat is sneezing in the background, but yes, so thank you to all of our patrons.
Also, patrons, if check to see if we sent you a message, because we were waiting for some addresses. Because if we don't have an address, we can't send you your welcome packet, so.
Yep. Also, some Phoenix Plus patrons have not replied to me with their t-shirt size and their house, and that is important for this box that is coming out. So just check your messages if you're a patron. Thank you, thank you. Kate, do you want to go first, since I've been talking a lot?
Sure.
What else is going on in the life of you? Oh my gosh, my cat is being so loud. I'm really sorry, guys.
Yeah, he's dealing with a cold, you know, the usual. what's going on in our lives? We just finished up our big, huge wedding project, and it was awesome and amazing, and I can't believe it's over. It's like relief and sadness at the same time.
It's so funny to me that Jen went to school with her. She was literally talking about her. She's like, I went to school with this girl. She's getting married this weekend, blah, 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 blah. And then she's texting me on Sunday, and I was like, I don't know if that's her. And I creeped and was like, yep, that was her.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's
small
world. It
was a Harry Potter themed wedding, and it was beautiful. And if you guys want to see pictures of it, you can go to our Etsy at Whimsy Creative Design, and I posted some pictures.
Instagram.
What did I say?
Etsy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Instagram, yes.
Yeah, so we're looking for another design job, so if anyone needs anything designed.
That was so fun.
Yeah,
it was so fun. We did hand-painted signs, we did her program, her invites, we made her chocolate frog cards for her wedding.
Signage around the place.
yeah, signage that was, like, Wizarding World themed to, like, direct people to cocktail hour, and the bar was the Leaky Cauldron, so we made, like, a bar sign. She had a Honey Dukes table for a candy bar, and...
And who knew that we could also be decorators?
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
What else is going on? I have a huge to-do list right now for Swish and for, our other podcast, Friends Watching Friends. If you guys like Friends, we are fast approaching the end of season one, and we've got, like, 6 episodes left, I think. And I'm really loving Friends. So it's a really fun podcast if you want to check it out. We do it with our friend Chrissy, and she's, like, a Friends expert who knows absolutely everything. She runs the show on that podcast, and we're just kind of, like, her tag-alongs, so... Yeah, so check us out at Friends Watching Friends Pod.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything but school, so that's my life. Hopefully by the time comes out, I'll know if I can apply to the nursing program or not. So, woo!
When do you find
that's
out?
That's exciting.
I have a meeting next week with an advisor. And then I just had to figure out what else I have to do to apply.
Awesome.
So I might be starting it either next semester or the semester after that. Hopefully it'll be soon so I can end it soon.
Good vibes to O'Malley. Nice.
Oh, and then I had my eyes checked because I'm thinking of getting LASIK surgery, and I met a listener who she's not caught up yet. She's like on episode 90, I think she told me, but she was super sweet. Her name was Kayla. And if I get the surgery, I will see her again. But she was super, super sweet. That's so when you awesome. Get to this episode, thank you so much for being awesome. Thank you for listening. And I had a good time at the doctor's office.
That's hilarious. At.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was a good time.
All right, who's doing this closing?
You started it. You got to end it.
What?
Unless Sarah wants to, but she doesn't like reading other people's lines. So I'm going to assume that that's a big hard no.
All right. Well, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down. Amazing! Just my voice! Now that we're talking about our tattoos, mine itches.
Yours looks...
Mine's almost
so much better than mine.
Almost there. Okay.
Now, how to get out of here... I need you to go away. Thank you. Escape.
Yeah, Ethan, absolutely. Like, I don't know how she does it. He says being a teacher is like working in a petri dish. She was trying to make it all day, and she's like, I'm gonna take one more nap and see how I feel, and she's just like, I can't do it. So, she tried, guys, she tried.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.